It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Just when you think this team is done, toast. It's over. They pull you back in. They pull themselves back out of the fire with a win against Illinois last night at the Bryce Jordan Center with a historic performance. We're going to talk about that on the Hoop Show, which is right now. Penn State on a four-game skid had to have it. Had to have it. You could have said that about any of the other four games, but backs against the wall last night, Nate Bauer, and they delivered, and then some. How you doing? What are you thinking?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me. All of the niceties. We're back. We are. Look, it was a huge game for Penn State. I mean, obviously it was a huge game. It was, the way that things had spiraled on them, I'm not going to say was like totally inconceivable. It, you know, teams lose games that happens sometimes, including games that you don't expect necessarily to lose. The Big Ten is hard, right? Like it was just this matter of it happening at kind of the worst possible time for Penn State. If you had gone through this earlier in the season, earlier in January, okay, it is what it is. You have time to get yourself out of it. And we'll get into talking about this later, but Penn State can still reach its aspirations. The window is still there. It's just extraordinarily tight. It is extraordinarily tight for them to get what they need. But getting past Illinois on Tuesday night was an essential ingredient to that end.
Yeah, was it a surprise given that Penn State was able to do this to Illinois previously? Like coming into this game, you're on a four-game skid. I think a lot of people would say, writing on the wall, another team that's on the opposite trajectory, but a team that you were able to do this to previously. What were your thoughts, I guess, coming into the game in terms of expected outcome?
I think that I'm at the point where we know who and what this Penn State team is. There are no, like, it's not a surprise at this point that they can go bonkers scoring the basketball. They have that ability. It's always been there. It's just a matter of how consistent can it be and how much greater does it have to be to make up for whatever deficiencies the defense has, right? If Penn State's defense is just not there and not engaged and somebody that they're playing against goes off on them, at this point, that's not a surprise.
Yeah.
But it's also not a surprise to see Penn State just shoot the heck out of the ball at the Bryce Jordan Center. And so any given night that can happen. And I thought Illinois was a team that had won 8 of 10 in the Big Ten coming into the game. It was a perfect night for their letdown and for Penn State to just smoke show it, right? Just go crazy. And that's exactly what happened.
So before we get into the game, let's get to the end first. Talk about the outcome. Where does this win place them in jockeying for postseason position? How much of a benefit is it? And how much does this lift their profile?
Yeah, I think that it is, is it this massive lift? I don't know if I would say that. I mean, certainly they're still in the bottom half of the Big Ten standings. It was a game that Penn State like had to win. If they lose it, now you've more or less run out of chances. We've always kind of projected this, and we can finally talk about it. It's really 10 wins. It's 10 wins in the Big Ten. If you get the 10 in the Big Ten, go 10 and 10, and then depending on your matchup in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, which is likely to be against another quality team, given the way that the Big Ten looks this year, you're going to be fine. You're probably going to get into the tournament unless something really crazy happens. They've done enough at this point in terms of quad one, quad two, avoiding bad losses. But you look at the Big Ten standings, they're 6-9, which still puts them at 11th seed right now. The issue for them, and it's not an issue, it's actually to their benefit, is they're going to play the 14th team coming up here in Minnesota and the 13th team in Ohio State. So there are two conceivable wins for Penn State right there that get you a kind of an immediate chance to get yourself back into the picture. Yeah. It's just a matter of Penn State has not done that this season.
But they're on the road, both those games at in Minnesota and in Ohio. So,
yeah,
there's the other part of this team, and the other part of this season is the confidence factor. I don't feel like you can be super confident that this team is going to get it done. But as you pointed out, they can get it done at any moment, at any point. So it's an interesting place for them to be before they head into the final three games, and just lay it out for you so you have an idea of what's coming up before the Big Ten tournament in the first full week of March, I think it is. You've got the two games we just talked about, and then Rutgers at home. Looks like that's going to be a whiteout. And then at Northwestern, and then Senior Day versus Maryland. So, at Northwestern, that's a tough one, and then some strong teams to close out their regular season. Let's talk about last night, though. I think that will take care of itself. We understand Penn State home and away. We understand all the, kind of the tentpole themes of this season so far. But what I don't think I expected, and what you alluded to, is like it's not unheard of that this team would go on a 4-game losing streak. But it was a bit of a surprise that they didn't at least hold serve a little bit. What did Micah Shrewsbury have to say about that last night after the win, and everyone kind of exhaled?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, this was a team. Let me just give you my outside perspective, and I think that he alludes to it. You can, if you read between the lines of what he's saying here, this was a program that got tight. They did. The moment was too big for them. The pressure of becoming a tournament team, reaching their aspirations, all of those things. It just got to be too big. And so, and you see this all the time. You see this in other sports where, and even in Penn State basketball. I mean, this is a Penn State basketball storyline that has repeated itself really throughout my tenure covering the team, which is close to 20 years now, of a team that has some juice and is able to maybe, get a good win here, a good win there, but then loses some games and digs itself so much of a hole that finally, once the pressure comes off and there are no more aspirations to still be achieved, they go out and play their best basketball, right? They go out and play their best, whatever it is, whatever sport you're talking about. I mean, it happens in golf all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little bit of what happened and Micah Shrewsbury talks about it, winning despite their head coach. And what he's saying there is that he has been a bear to be around. He has not been a pleasant dude over the past really 4-6 weeks. Okay. Yeah. That everything is just built up and so tight that I think finally, for whatever reason, they played well against Maryland. They played well at Merrigan for long stretches of that game. They got themselves out of a big hole. They were competitive. Maryland, had the final knockout blow. Okay. But they played well enough to say, you know what? Here is the reminder of the team that they can be. This is what they are capable of. And they brought that back with them to State College after that trip.
When we came back Sunday after that game, there was a, you could see an air of confidence And then we had a good day of practice. And then we came back yesterday and we had another good day of practice. And then when I walked down for shoot around today and then throughout our shoot around, our spirit was great. Our spirit was great. Like those guys weren't broken. They were together. They were ready to fight. They were ready to fight together. And I think that's the biggest thing is they didn't let anything affect them, right? That's, a sign of maturity. That's a sign of a group that's together. And like I said, I'm proud of those guys. They're winning despite their coach.
Do you think what he's saying, despite their coach, meaning he put the pressure on them of being a tournament team and that was too much? Is that what you were alluding to earlier of he was trying to get them to, I hate to use it this way, to man up and to reach the moment instead of being loose, and maybe this team needs a little bit more loose.
Yes.
Cool.
I do. I think it's hard because you know you don't want to be overly critical, but if I'm from the outside looking in and examining this guy as a head coach, Micah, and what he's done at Penn State so far, I think that this has been a learning curve for him of how to manage people. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's been different at different points in his career as an assistant coach for all those years. You don't necessarily have to do it at the level on the broad scale that you do as a head coach. As an assistant, you have your guys. There are dudes who you're kind of responsible for, and you get to know them so well, like a position coach. You know this, right? In football, right. And so you have those relationships, and they're developed, and you just know what makes people tick. I don't think that this year, for one reason or another, you've got all these new personalities. There's eight players that are new to the program as of this year. Okay. Figuring that out, the alchemy of how do you get the most out of these specific players together? Who responds well to really hard-nosed negative style coaching? Who responds well or who doesn't respond well to that? Right. Like that, all of that has been a balance, I think, for him that he is acknowledging of being difficult for him. And finally, again, like I said, it has finally reached a point where, okay, Micah, relax. Okay. Like it is, everybody has been wound so tight. And a lot of that has been a trickle down effect. When the leader is tight, it often happens that you're going to see ramifications of that in the players that he's coaching. And so again, he talked about last night making a conscious effort, trying to direct the program into injecting more positivity into post game notes, picking out the good things and like actually focusing on them, not as much as, or as much as the bad things. And so to be able to come out of that and have the weight come off and see the positive result of that, I think is very, very much a positive thing for this program moving forward, as the pressure will again mount up.
Yeah.
Like especially with these
games that are expected to wins. It seems like the ones that are the toughest for this team are you're expected to win this game, or it's a pick'em game. Something like just being on the road has always been a problem, but being on the road against a team that is not your direct competition, you know, not one of the teams in the middle of the Big Ten. So you got two of those coming up next.
Yep. Yep. But that's the question is, did this win revert this group into, oh my goodness, we still have a chance. Right. Like all of this is still in front of us. And that's all that pressure. Is it that, or is it, okay, hey, this didn't work. being stressed out of our minds did not work. It did not serve us well.
Yeah.
Once we removed that stress or at least diminished it to a certain extent, it helped. It helped. So okay. I'm talking circles here because that is the balance and that's the impossibility of this is Penn State needs to play loose and free the way that it did on Tuesday night to continue to have success. But if it plays so loose and free that it's sloppy and uncharacteristic of itself and doesn't meet its standard of play, all of the things that it wants to happen in the future are going to be eliminated. There will be no possibility if they drop a game that they really should not get, lose. And that includes very specifically Minnesota up next.
Yeah, it always helps when you have a guy go for 40 plus points. If you can get that, like you're doing great. And yesterday, Jalen Pickett was fun to watch. He was awesome. Where do you want to start with Jalen Pickett? The shooting, the defense, the decision making. It felt like that you could pick out just about anything, and he was just perfect on it last night.
Yeah, no, he was exceptional. There's no question about it. It was an interesting dynamic to me because one, I've never seen in person. I'm trying to think if anybody scored 41 on Penn State. Maybe. But probably not. I mean, I've seen, right? We've all seen dynamic performances. I mean, heck, Tominaga went for 30 against this team just a couple of days ago. But I don't think I've ever seen 41. It always felt though as though the rest of the team was involved. It never felt like a ball dominant. And in a lot of ways, Penn State's offense is ball dominant for Jalen Pickett in the first place. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, but he had 8 assists last night as well, right? So other people were scoring. Other people were contributing. There were other things happening where it wasn't such a heavy dose of, hey, every trip down the floor, this guy is going to take a shot. He just did it on such a remarkably efficient clip. He made 15 of 20 shots last night. And in a key, he made 5 of 9 three-pointers. That's a differentiator. He doesn't make a ton of three-pointers. He doesn't take a ton of three-pointers. And Brad Underwood was asked about it after the game, about what happens when Pickett does make three-pointers. And it was the first thing out of his mouth. Underwood was like, he's a pro. If he's making three, it's almost the Lamar Stevens equation of if this element of his game take shape and he's a guy who can be extremely effective and dangerous from three, it is limitless potential for Jalen Pickett. And that's what happened on Tuesday night.
Yeah. And I think the shooting efficiency is obviously where you pointed out, but the rest of his game was exactly what Jalen Pickett has done most of the season, is setting people up for good looks. They hit them last night. And then he added 15 to 20 shooting. So it's it was a really impressive performance, and like you said, shows the full range of what he could do. The only thing he didn't get a whole lot of were rebounds the other night because everyone was hitting their shots. Like, they weren't getting any offensive rebounds. And you know, it just wasn't in the cards last night. But the first half especially, and some of the key moments of heading into halftime and then coming out of halftime, setting up plays for him. And then the other thing I thought that was really interesting was the way Illinois was defending him. It felt like they didn't really know what they wanted to do at times, and they were switching, but then they weren't switching, and then they fell off. And he had a lot of open threes because the defense just got super confused at times. I mean, one of them, I think it was either before or after the step back three, where he had a guy in his face. Two guys are switching. One guy sloughs off, and he just shoots the three. I mean, he had the opportunity because it felt like Illinois was not on their game either. So it was kind of a perfect storm.
Yeah, no, I think that's right on, and that's what Underwood said afterwards, was that they let him, through defensive lapses, walk into the first 2 3-pointers that he made, and once he was feeling good, that was what became evident very early in the game, was Pickett knew he had it and it never went away. Right. Yeah. I mean, and you've seen this a lot, or I've seen this a lot this season, of, you know, Pickett can be super hot or Lundy can be super hot. And all of these guys give themselves heat checks to a certain extent. And
Andrew,
you know,
Funk did do that last night where he was shooting from Steph Curry range.
And you get the heat check moment and you find out, oh, okay, you're not God on this particular night. But yeah, guess what? Jalen Pickett was pretty darn close in terms of his, I mean, they all went in and you know, he did it in a range of different capacities. He was in the paint as he always is, but also, again, like I said, I mean, mid range and outside, he was effective as well. But also setting other guys up for shots. I mean, it was really a complete effort, and to me, much, much more impressive than even the triple double that he had, just given the circumstance and how he did it on Tuesday night.
Here's how Michael Shrewsbury summed it up.
That's special, man. You know, sometimes when you're going through it, you just need somebody special to have a special performance. And I think that's what he did. But not to like downplay what some of the other guys did. I thought maybe they didn't score as much, maybe they didn't rebound as much, but I thought their effort and some of the contributions we got from everybody was special.
I think he makes a good point there that it was, I mean, you got to 93 points because you had a full team effort. This is the BWI yep. Hoop Show. I'm Thomas Frank Carr. He's Nate Bauer. We're discussing Penn State's win over Illinois, if you would be so kind. Please like the video, subscribe to Blue White Illustrated here on YouTube. Appreciate all the support. And of course, if you want to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, download, auto-download, whatever you want to do. You know, we have a growing show here. And I was a little concerned after that four-game skid, like what's going to happen, people's interest in this team, because it is very dependent on how good they are.
Yeah.
And you guys are staying strong and steady, so appreciate people who are here for the show, that are here to listen to what Nate has to say and all of his interesting insights about the game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Anything else from last night that you want to cover? I know we've got a couple of other stats here that are pretty impressive, including fouls last night.
Yeah.
That actually happened.
Yeah. Let's get the fouls in a minute.
Okay.
I just want to point out the other guys that played well. Lundy had 15 and 7 rebounds. He was great.
Yeah,
Funk had 10, and Kanye Clary, I think, is becoming a story, right? In mm-hmm. in the what he brings, the dynamic injection he provides to Penn State's offense, I think is really becoming clear. He had 12 points last night. He's just a guy who can speed things up for you.
Yeah,
similar to the way that I think they want Cam Winter to be able to do for them, and Cam yep. does do at sometimes, but excuse me, whether it's one or the other, you have to have it for this offense to work. And him providing it, Kanye providing it on Tuesday night was really an important thing. A couple other guys that you have to mention, Kebba Jai had 5 rebounds, which were all important. I mean, just, you have to be able to rebound against these guys and keep it competitive. And I thought Mikey Henn, in as limited of a role as he had, did well. He did well in his moments. He had a key offensive rebound. Everything was so timely about what they did on Tuesday night that it just really, it was a complete picture. It was a complete picture for not just Jalen Pickett, but for the entire team. And, you know, obviously it was good for them to be able to put that together in the context of how difficult things had been for them over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the part about Clary, I want to kind of bridge this conversation. You mentioned the speed and the explosiveness he brings to the court. I feel like at times, because Jalen Pickett is so methodical and because he's physical, you don't get as many of those calls, right? But when you see a fast guy sure. go to the bucket and he's 5'11", and the shot doesn't go in, I think, again, some of these natural assumptions about sports and the way things are going, like you see the fast guy, you expect him to get fouled. So having that element to force a foul because he got by you and you got a grab, but also the optics of it. He's flailing in the air, and people love the drama of flailing in the air. And even subconsciously, I think referees have a bias towards that as well. Do you think that's a valid thing? Because they actually got calls the other night. It was amazing.
So a couple of things. In our game thread, I mentioned, because Clary got two shooting fouls on two of the first drives to the bucket that he took. And it just must be so frustrating to Shrewsbury and to Jalen Pickett to see that and say, and be like, hey, this is happening to me all the time. Okay. Yeah. Do you know what it's like from, and this is a roundabout way because I don't follow boxing at all, but landing body shots, right?
Yeah.
Is such a critical ingredient to that sport, but it's not sexy. It's not, nobody's looking for it, right? You're looking for the headshots, right? You're like,
yeah.
Jabs to the face. Jalen Pickett is taking body shots all game. He is just getting destroyed in his torso. But because that's an area that you can't, it's forest through the trees, right? You can't see it as clearly when it's happening if you're the officiating crew. So like there's a human element to this as well that I think it contributes to it.
Yeah.
But for one reason or another last night, not only it is not as though Jalen Pickett was drawing fouls in the paint. That did not change. What differentiated itself last night, to my perspective, was Illinois got hit with a ton of touch fouls, right? Over the back, on rebounds, stuff on the perimeter. They were getting, right, just for being handsy, more or less.
Was that, it Nebraska or Indiana the last time Penn State played at the Bryce Jordan Center, and they won another game going away when the game was called that way? I can't remember which game it was, but kind of the same thing, right?
Shrewsbury explained it against Purdue at the Palestra. If it's not if they cannot draw fouls when teams are fouling.
Yeah.
It's not asking for phantom stuff. It's, hey, our action cannot proceed if we are not, if a team is not being called out of these specific defenses. And that's exactly what happened to Illinois last night. Is Illinois' perimeter defense, I thought, was in some ways neutered by the fact that they were getting called. Like the actual calls were happening when those fouls were committed, and it got Penn State into the bonus early in the second half, which I thought really, it just cemented things for Penn State. It was a way for Penn State to get points without necessarily having to make the shots, right? Nobody's going to shoot 70% for the entirety of a game. Okay. So for as hot as Penn State was as a team in efficiency, you can't expect that to sustain for 40 minutes. But if you're getting to the free throw line and have those opportunities to get your points that way, it's a huge, huge help. And I thought that Mike Shrewsbury pointed that out as well.
Explain to me Ken Pom's tweet. You've got it here in our notes. I love the reference. I don't understand all the stats. So explain the Talladega Knights profile.
And just fair warning here, I don't know that I'm going to say it exactly correctly either, because it's kind of a super basketball nerd thing. Okay. KenPom has these four cores or four pillars of what he believes are, he calls them the four factors, obviously, of what he believes are important ingredients to winning basketball games: effective field goal percentage, turnover percentage, offensive rebound percentage, and free throws attempted against field goals attempted. And he says, Penn State's explosive shooting night puts them one step closer to the unthinkable Talladega Knights four-factor profile. If you're not first, you're last. Penn State's effective field goal percentage, got them to sixth at 56.1. The turnover percentage at 13.3 was first. And then offensive rebound was 17.2, at which is 363. And naturally, they're not going to have offensive rebounds if they're making shots. But the thing that kills Penn State is that last factor. The free throws attempted against field goals attempted at 18.3. Right. It's not close to what you need to have. And so he explained, you'd have to go really deep into the woods on it, but the explanation is you can be good at three and bad at one, and it can really sink a team. But teams generally that are good at four are very good teams. And so Penn State just has this unique position of, like, you know exactly what this team is, which is if they're not first, they're last, and they will lose the game.
Yeah. If it's not a good night for their shooting and turnovers, it's not going to be a good night for any of it. And then, of course, when it comes to the matchup last night, the team played really well and seems to play really well against that particular team. What did Michael Shrewsbury have to say about kind of that matchup-specific thing of Illinois shot blocking versus Penn State's shooting?
Well, I mean, they brought the foul aspect into clarity of just saying, hey, guys, this is, excuse me, this is the type of team that you're playing. You have to be able to adjust the style of play to be able to draw fouls that they have not done previously. And more or less, he was saying, hey, it worked. It worked.
They're one of the best shot blocking teams in our league. So trying to play off 2 feet, being disciplined and using shot fakes, whether it be on the perimeter or in the paint. And then, you know, people are so focused on our threes, not letting us get threes. I think we have more people attacking the rim on drives. We have more people driving the ball, pick it down in the post. So trying to get some switches and get to the matchups that we wanted, that where he was drawing those fouls. So, you know, and then some of those are like, you know, we got rebound. We got in the bonus early, and then we got a couple free throws or had some free throws on defensive rebounds, just boxing out, being in the right spot, being strong with the ball. So it's helpful, right? Then you're not scrapping for every single point you get.
I think he made a good point there that one of the things that they've been inconsistent about at times is controlling the part of the glass that can, which is effort, positioning, and not doing dumb things when you're out of position. I felt like they did a good job. You mentioned Mikey Henn and Kebijai just being clean down low. And that's a huge factor for this team. There weren't a lot of like turnovers on missed dunks or things like that. It was just a really clean game on both sides in the paint for the bigs last night.
Yeah, just as a team, they had very few turnovers until the last couple of minutes of the game when Illinois was pressing and things got a little sloppy. But I just, to the comment that he just said, I mean, the exasperation dripping from his comment at the very end, you know, just like, then you're not scrapping for every single point. You know, it's just like, this has been such a theme for them all season. And last night, they didn't have to deal with it. And it came, I mean, the funniest thing about it to me is, it's not as though there was this massive disparity where Penn State had 20 free throws and Illinois had 4. It was, no, Illinois had 20 and Penn State had 19. But that
alone is a disparity from what's been going on for this team.
Correct. And so, I don't know. It's just super interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how games are called in the future. And if Penn State learned anything, if this group learned anything about, hey, this is what might open the door to a little bit more of this to help themselves out, because they need to get to the free throw line, and they have not been able to all season.
So one of the other things we talked about this year was defensive effort being insular from the offensive performance. Obviously last night you were doing a great job. So I don't know that we have the answer to that, but did you get an answer from anybody about that particular part of the team and the profile?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they acknowledged it, right? Is Jalen Pickett, and I didn't want to be the bad guy necessarily, but you have to ask it. Illinois was doing just about anything they wanted to do as well, offensively, specifically in the first half. I mean, it was Penn State, yes, was so hot that I think it was difficult for Illinois to keep up necessarily, but Illinois was still scoring at like 1.13 for the game on offensive possessions. Like, that's really good. That's a really good number. And so you just have to wonder, did Penn State make any strides defensively? That I'm not sure that Jalen Pickett, he kind of smiled when I asked it, right? Because he knew, okay, there are still definitely things that they need to work on.
I feel like steps were made in spurts. Like, when our offense is going, we play good defense. Like, we want to get more stops because we want to get on offense. But when teams are scoring, we get maybe a little bit overwhelmed. Like, we want to play a perfect possession every time. So I think our mental needs to get a little bit stronger for us to keep going. But we got time to fix that.
Yeah, sometimes.
No, they don't.
Sometime. I mean, literally, there are 24 hours in every day. So I guess if that's what you mean, then sure. But in terms of conceptual time, not really. So where do you go with this? Heading into, again, a game they have to win next up.
I asked Micah about it, and he more or less said, hey, you just have to lean into the things that you did well. Okay, and they did enough things well against Illinois to be able to take snippets of that and say, okay, do it again. Okay, mm-hmm. Do those things again and maybe add a little bit more to it. But his stress of fixing it seems to me is dissipating, right? Like this notion of, okay, well, we are going to go back to this. We're going to find our identity. We're going to, right?
Making them bulletproof. Making their sense what they do.
I don't think that they're going to try to do that. I think they're acknowledging, hey, this is what we are. And I don't think that Micah Shrewsbury likes it. I don't think that's not the team he wants
that's
to be
fair.
Because he knows that it's a dangerous combination when the shots aren't falling, when Penn State doesn't feel good. Penn State doesn't want to play defense. These guys want to be electric. They want to be showstoppers offensively. He said it all season. It's just a matter of, hey, if that's not happening, what can you rely on? What do you have to fall back on? And this team doesn't have a lot to fall back on except its effort. And so defensively, I think coming out of Maryland, where the defensive effort was improved, even if the defensive approach wasn't always perfect, and this game where same deal, the effort was there. I think that's what they're going to try to juice out of these guys over these last five games.
So let's wrap up here by looking ahead.
Yep.
We already did. We started there. But now that we've kind of recapped where the team is heading out of this win.
Yep.
Do we have a feeling on how it's going to go at Minnesota Saturday at... You're not kidding here. 9 p.m.?
Yeah. Well, it's East Coast, and that's a central time zone game, so it's 8 o'clock in Minnesota. But, yes, you don't have to watch. It's okay. I'll watch for
I'm you. Obviously going to watch. This is my job.
Yeah. Minnesota's not a good team this year. They can't score, and they can't defend. So that combination alone should give Penn State fans nightmares, okay? Just because
it's too easy. It's too obvious.
This one is too obvious. Minnesota has dealt with some COVID issues. They've had games that got canceled. And so the thing about this is you can look at the rest of the schedule, okay? At Ohio State after this one, Rutgers at home, at Northwestern, Maryland at home. If you win all the other games, okay, you can lose one of those four games and it's okay. It's not the end of the world. You cannot lose at Minnesota and win the other four games. This is the one game that you cannot lose from a bad loss perspective.
Okay.
It's not about good wins. It's bad loss. You cannot have this as a loss and win the other four and think that you're going to be okay, because you're not. That'll stand out. It'll be glaring based on Minnesota's record this year. And again, I mean, the stats that I just mentioned, it's just not a good team. And so Penn State's going to have to slay some demons and find a way to, if not flourish on the road offensively, then at least grind out a win offensively.
Yeah, just get it done. Like, it doesn't matter that this is one of the worst teams in the league. You're one of the worst teams in the league when you go on the road, so just win
Correct.
It. Yeah, don't be looking for style points in this one.
Yep, you can't. They're going to have to get ugly, whatever it is, right? If the 3-point shots are not falling, they're going to have to find a way to manufacture points, because the reality is it's not going to take that many to win, or it shouldn't take that many to win, just based on Minnesota's offensive efficiencies. So you have to play defense. You have to be solid defensively. And then you just have to find a way to manufacture points and just come out of it with a win. And then you can approach, like, address the rest of it after that game. Okay. But start thinking about, stringing wins together once you've actually done two in a row, which has not happened this calendar year.
So circling back to one last thing that we talked about earlier and applying it to this game. Let's say the 3-pointers, or just general, the shooting is not going great Saturday. Does the addition of Kanye Clary to the rotation, going to the bucket, forcing the issue, does that make you feel better about Penn State's offensive chances? Or is that just another wild card given he's a freshman?
I do think it helps their chances. I do. It's just not represented elsewhere if Cam Winter isn't providing it. And Cam's had his ups and downs this year, no doubt about it, but through the Big Ten, it's been more downs, I would argue, than ups. And so if Kanye Clary is the hot hand to that end of that specific ingredient to the offense of slashing and getting to the basket to score layups, because you can just beat a guy off the dribble. Yeah. I think that helps them. And I don't necessarily think that Minnesota presents, Michael was talking about it on Tuesday night, how you keep Cam in the starting lineup because Cam can recognize things. He's had experience. He knows what defenses are doing, and it's of a benefit to Kanye to be able to see that from the sideline over the game's first 6 minutes, whatever it is, until he comes in. So I do think that Cam will continue to start, but I do think also that Clary's role, he's established at this point that he can provide something to Penn State's offense that it doesn't have otherwise. And yeah, they'll continue to lean in on that.
So we'll see. Again, Saturday at 9 on the BTN. You can always follow Blue White Illustrated on Twitter. And the place you need to be is BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, the Lion's Den message forum. Make sure you subscribe to get premium content so you can get all of the basketball inside information from Nate. $29.99 from now until next football season. So you get a deal on the yearly rate, and you get an introduction to what you can get in basketball season. Even if we are winding to a close, there's never a lack of inside information. If you're listening to this and you're a basketball fan, you probably have an idea about what's going on with Penn State football as well. Like, you might keep tabs on that. If you want to get all that information, BlueWhiteIllustrated.com is your place for insider information. And of course, subscribing is free wherever you hear my voice. So YouTube, podcasts, all that stuff. Help support us, and we'll keep bringing you all this awesome content. Nate, thanks so much, buddy. I always appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That'll do it for the BWI Daily Edition, the Hoop Show, coming up live tonight. If you're watching this as it's live or shortly after, we have our live show, 7 p.m. We are discussing a couple of things, including what's Penn State's self-scouting looking like. Today, 7 p.m., be there on the BWI Daily Edition.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.